This is lesson HBS 163, and the title of our lesson today is The Lay Ministries, Part 6, He That Showeth Mercy. We're continuing on in our series of the sub-ministries under the Ministry of Help. Let's go back now into our text of 1 Corinthians 12:28 and read that. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. What we're talking about today is this ministry of helps, and we've been talking about that for several lessons now. Okay, now let's go back now to our other text in Romans 12 and read about what we are calling sub-ministries under the ministry of helps. That is, this little word helps here is only mentioned once in the New Testament as a ministry. And so God must have somewhere else in this New Testament that explains a little bit about this ministry of helps. And I believe it's in Romans chapter 12, verse 7 and 8. So let's turn back to that and let's read about some other ministries that I believe fall under this ministry of helps. Romans chapter 12, verse 7. Or let's go back up to verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth, on teaching. He that exhorteth, on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. And he that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. And that'll be our lesson for today. And what we've been doing, friends, is going along talking about these sub-ministries under the ministry of helps. Now, let's look up this word mercy and see what it really means here. If we look it up in the Bible, we find that this word mercy is an interesting word. It's used in Romans 12:8. It's the Greek word eleeo, E-L-E-E-O, eleeo. And we find out, if we look up the definition of this term, it's a divine gift of compassion that comes upon a person with the object of bringing mercy to another who is incapable of helping themselves. Now, there's a lot in this definition, so let me just say it one more time. This word mercy, this eleo in the Greek, is a divine gift of compassion. In other words, it's a gift that God gives to people that will come upon a person with the object of bringing mercy to another who is incapable of helping themselves. One thing we're going to learn in this lesson is this particular gift of mercy is manifested when the person who receives this gift has really no other recourse other than somebody helping him. They're really incapable of helping themselves in whatever area it is they need mercy in. Now, it doesn't just say show mercy. It says show mercy with cheerfulness. Let's look at this word cheerfulness now. And the cheerfulness in as it's used in Romans 12, 8 here, it's the Greek word hilarates. And it actually means to do something with speed or readiness of mind. In this case, means showing mercy with speed or readiness of mind. That is, when you see a need and the person has no recourse other than somebody giving that person mercy, they don't just do it when they get around to it. They respond to this need quickly. So if you put together these two words, showing mercy and what the King James Version calls cheerfulness, we'll find that we have a person that's influenced by God to a deep empathy and compassion to relieve another person's distress. The end result of this compassion is to cause the person to act quickly to bring mercy and relief to the person in this distress in which he's incapable of helping himself. Let me just say that one more time. This showing mercy with cheerfulness, if we look up the Greek word and put it all together, it means we have a person that's influenced by God to a deep empathy or compassion to relieve another person's distress. And when he does this, the end result of this compassion would be to cause this person that's giving this mercy to act quickly to bring mercy and relief to the person that has this distress. And this distress will be something where he is incapable of helping himself. Now, folks, this is a little different than other things we've studied, like teaching. It isn't, you don't just teach someone that's incapable of teaching themselves. He that giveth, he doesn't just give to someone who's incapable of helping himself. This mercy is different. It's manifested when really the person that receives it doesn't have any way out of their predicament unless someone helps them. That is showing mercy. Now, here's some things I found out by studying the Bible about this Greek word for mercy. Number one, this particular word in the Greek for mercy is always used in the Bible as a merciful act resulting from compassion for someone who was incapable of helping themselves. That's number one. Number two, God the Father and Jesus' merciful acts throughout the Bible were always given to those who couldn't help themselves. Now, for some examples would be our redemption. We couldn't do that for ourselves. Healing. The people who received healing under Jesus' ministry were incapable of helping themselves. Deliverance. The people that were delivered from demonic spirits by Jesus in the Gospels were incapable of removing these spirits and oppression from themselves. And so in all these cases, folks, the mercy was shown to someone who is incapable of helping themselves. Number three, God will move people with this special gift, with his compassion, so acts of mercy can be given to others. Those with this special gift of showing mercy will be used in this way on a regular basis. Now, that doesn't mean others of us that don't have this special gift of showing mercy. It's talked about here in Romans 12:8. That doesn't mean we won't show mercy as well. Of course, we'll all show mercy to another at times as God moves us and as we see a need that we could help remove, that the person in need doesn't have any way of helping themselves. But these people with this special gift of mercy will be used in this way over and over again. And so that's the way to distinguish ourselves, maybe that we don't have this particular gift, but we'll still show mercy when God lays it on our hearts and brings this person across our path. But the ones with the special gift of showing mercy will find this happening over and over in their lives. God bringing them into situations where someone needs some sort of help or aid that they can receive no other way. These kind of people that have this gift will be used in this way over and over again, and they will just seem like they're coming across these people that need this kind of help all the time. That's because God has given this special gift of showing mercy with cheerfulness. Now let's look at some Bible examples of where mercy was given to someone in need that couldn't provide for themselves. Well, number one, let's look at God. What is his main act of mercy that he showed toward mankind? Well, how about the act of mercy of sending Jesus to die for mankind's sins? Man had no way out of this predicament. Man had no way to take care of the sin problem. And so God took upon himself to send his own son to earth to die for man's sins. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That, folks, was an act of mercy. Man had no way of helping himself. And so God took it upon himself to show mercy to all of us. And all of us who have responded to that mercy are now children of God. I think Titus says it really well in Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 6, of what God did when he showed this mercy. Let me read that to you for a second here. Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 6 says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." This describes unsaved man. But listen, "But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he has shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior." It says here that it was mercy that moved God to do something we couldn't do for ourselves. "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us." And so, folks, that's something we couldn't do for ourselves. And I think that's the greatest example of mercy in the entire Bible, is God showing his mercy for mankind who couldn't help themselves, and that mercy being manifested by sending his own son down here to live and finally die for our sins. Now, how about Jesus showing mercy? Well, if we look through the Gospels, we see over and over Jesus doing for others what they couldn't do for themselves. If you turn to Matthew chapter 4, I think we'll see a verse just kind of sums up what Jesus did for us in the way of showing mercy. And that's in Matthew chapter 4 and a few other places as well, but I'm just going to kind of stick with the book of Matthew for a while because there's so many examples. I don't have time to go through them all, but we'll just go through a few of them here and we'll get an example of what this mercy is and how Jesus showed it in his ministry. Verse 23 of Matthew chapter 4. And it says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people." Folks, if we go back and we read all the gospels, we're going to find that Jesus' mercy was really manifested in these three different ways. Number one, teaching the people. He taught them things, folks, they had no other way of receiving, no other way of finding these things out. And so Jesus taught the people. That was an act of mercy by Jesus. Number two, preaching the gospel. Folks, he preached the gospel of the kingdom of God, the gospel of repentance, that really was to get the people ready for when he went to the cross and died for their sins, they would be in a condition to receive then Jesus as their Savior. So what did he do? He taught, he preached, and he healed. And folks, that healing was manifested not only in healing their sicknesses, but also delivering them from the oppression of the devil. Folks, these people had no other way to receive healing. They had no other way to get deliverance from the oppression of the devil in some of their lives. They had no way to relieve this themselves. And so Jesus showed mercy by teaching, preaching, and healing the people. Now, let's read a few examples of Jesus showing mercy in this areas. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 9 and let's just read verses 27 through 30. Here's an example of Jesus showing mercy through healing. Verse 27. "And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it." Now, folks, here's an act of mercy on Jesus' part. In fact, these two men were crying for mercy. They were saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And if you read other accounts of the same thing, they kept crying over and over to the point where the disciples were going to request that these people be quiet, and they requested Jesus to tell these people to be quiet. They thought it was bothering Jesus. But Jesus was just responding to their cry for mercy. Folks, these people were blind. They have no way of getting out of this on their own. And so Jesus showed mercy and healed them. But even in the case here where he healed them, it was necessary for them to have faith. Faith plus mercy equals results. Faith on our parts, mercy on God's parts, will get the job done every time. And so what did Jesus do? He touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, be it unto you." In other words, first they had to say with their mouth, Jesus said, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" And they said unto them, "Yea, Lord." With their mouth, they said they believed. Then Jesus touched their eyes and manifested the mercy of them being able to see and saying, "According to your faith, be it done unto you." And so, folks, here is Jesus showing mercy by healing two blind men that had no other way to receive healing. That, folks, fits our definition of mercy. That is showing compassion and love towards someone and then manifesting that compassion through an act of mercy, which in this case was healing their blindness. Let's go on now to chapter 15 and read verses 22 through 28. Matthew chapter 15, verse 22, and it says this, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him," that is, cried unto Jesus, "saying, Have mercy on me, Lord." In other words, she recognizes she needs mercy. There's no way she's going to receive what she's going to ask from Jesus any other way. "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." This woman had no way of relieving her daughter from this oppression of the devil in her life. But he, that is Jesus, answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's what he said to this woman. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread, that is, deliverance and healing for the Jews. He's just trying to tease out of her a little bit of a faith statement. And so he said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Here's another case of mercy. This woman came to Jesus saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. And Jesus, after he saw her and got a statement of faith from her, manifested this mercy to her through healing her daughter. And so here again is an example of Jesus showing mercy. Jesus moved with compassion, showing mercy to a person who had a need that could be relieved no other way. This woman is incapable of delivering her daughter herself. She had no authority, no anointing, nothing to do this. But Jesus did, and he healed her daughter. Now, today, we as believers do have this authority. Remember, Jesus gave it to us in Mark chapter 16. He that believeth on me in my name shall he. And one of those things was cast out devils. But there were no believers then. There were nothing to believe on yet. Jesus hadn't yet gone to the cross. And so that wasn't available for people to self-deliver themselves, so to speak, like we can do nowadays, or have someone else minister to us since we're believers. And we have this authority from Jesus where he said, He that believeth on me in my name shall he cast out devils and things like that. But she had no authority to do this. And so Jesus manifested this healing mercy to her daughter through this deliverance for the oppression of the devil. Okay, now let's take a look at one more example, and that's in Matthew chapter 17, and we're going to see another case where Jesus manifested mercy to someone who was incapable of helping themselves. And for that, we'll look in chapter 17 and start with verse 14. And this is the case where Jesus and three of his apostles, Peter, James, and John, came down from the Mount of Transfiguration. And when they came down, in verse 14 it says, And when they were come to the multitude, there came unto him a certain man, kneeling down to him, and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic, and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire, and oft into the water. In other words, he has a devil that is oppressing his son. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. So here we have another case of Jesus showing mercy. In fact, the man even came to him and said, Lord, have mercy on my son. In other words, the man had no other way to get his son delivered from this devil which oppressed him. He had no recourse other than Jesus or someone that Jesus had deputized. Now, in this case, Jesus had deputized, so to speak, his apostles and some of his disciples to go forth and to heal people and get them delivered from devils. And that's why Jesus said here, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Because he'd given authority to the apostles, the 12 apostles, and some of his 70 of his disciples to do this. Even though they weren't believers, this was a special dispensation that Jesus gave them for that time to train them, basically, so that when he left, they'd be able to carry on after they became believers. So anyway, Jesus manifested the mercy of God to this man's son. And that's what the man asked for, wasn't it? He asked Jesus for something that he was incapable of doing himself. And so Jesus cast out the devil and healed his son. Now, we've given examples of God and Jesus. Of course, we expect them to show mercy. But let's look at the classic example in the Bible, I believe, of showing mercy. And for that, we're going to turn to Luke chapter 10, verse 25. And we're going to talk about the Good Samaritan. Now, as soon as I say that, you say to yourself, oh yeah, I remember that, the Good Samaritan. This, folks, I believe is the classic example of what Jesus is talking about when he's talking about showing mercy. And for that, let's go to Luke chapter 10 and start with verse 25. This is a fairly lengthy account, so bear with me. It says here, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted Jesus, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, keep in mind, this lawyer was part of the Jewish religious group at that time, which consisted of lawyers and scribes and priests and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the chief priests. All of these formed the Jewish religion, I guess you would say. And the lawyers were part of this. They were the people that were experts on the law, what had to be done in the law to live according to the Jewish faith at that time. And so one of these lawyers stood up and tempted Jesus, asking him a question. And he says, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "What is written in the law?" In other words, Jesus knew he was a lawyer and said, "What do you read in the law? You should know this. How readest thou?" And the lawyer answered back and said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." And then Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast answered right. This do, and you shall live." Lawyer didn't let it stay there, did he? He went on. He says in verse 29, "But the lawyer, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor?" In other words, he was going to pin Jesus down here, see? And Jesus answering said, he's going to answer his question, "Who is my neighbor?" And Jesus said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead." In other words, these thieves came along to this man that was walking along from Jerusalem to Jericho, and tore off all his clothes, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. In verse 31, "And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him," that is, saw the wounded man, "he passed by on the other side." In other words, we have this priest coming down that way. He sees this poor wounded man there, stripped of his clothes and wounded by the wayside, and it looks like he crossed over to the other side, because it makes a point here of saying he passed by on the other side. In other words, he didn't want to look too closely upon this man, because why? He might have to do something. And he didn't want to be bothered. Verse 32, "And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and then he too passed by on the other side." The Levite even went one step further. He came up and stood over him and looked at him, saw his clothes were stripped off, saw he was half dead and wounded, and then he crossed by on the other side. Now notice, both of these people who came upon this man were members, just like this lawyer, of the Jewish sect, and they all passed by on the other side. But then a certain Samaritan, now you have to understand that the Samaritans had nothing to do with the Jews, or I should say, the Jews had nothing to do with the Samaritans. To the Jews, the Samaritans were dogs, not fit to talk to, not fit to have any dealings with. As a matter of fact, they were forbidden to have any dealings at all with these Samaritans. If you go back and look in Acts chapter 10, verse 28, you'll find out this is true. And you can even, for further study, look at John chapter 4, verse 9, and you're going to find out that these Samaritans were not anybody the Jews had anything to do with. So that's why Jesus is using this Samaritan in his example of what a person should do when they come across someone who can't help themselves. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, that is, the injured man was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. There's that word, eleheo. That word we looked up, in this case, it's translated compassion. When he saw him, he had compassion on him. And what is this compassion? It's an inner divine urge by God to help someone in some way in which they can't help themselves. And so when he saw this injured man, he had compassion on him, and he acted. And what did he do? And he went to him, and he bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave it them to the host, that is, the innkeeper, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now, Jesus said, of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And the lawyer said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus, Go and do thou likewise. In other words, the neighbor that Jesus is talking about here, loving thy neighbor as thyself, is anyone that you come upon who cannot help themselves and they need an act of mercy shown unto them. That's loving your neighbor. When you go out of your way and don't cross over to the other side, you go out of your way to help this person who has this great need. In this case, this man had no clothes, he'd been beaten, he was wounded, and he needed someone to show mercy to him. And Jesus is making it a point of telling this lawyer that two of men of your own faith, a priest and a Levite, just like you, Mr. Lawyer, came by, saw this man, and passed by on the other side and didn't help him at all. And then who came by? Just a lowly Samaritan. And this person, unlike you Jews, unlike the lawyers, unlike the priests, unlike the Levites, came by and helped this poor man. You know, that would bring a great deal of mortification and shame, I think, if you were of the Jewish faith back then and you found out that the one Jesus was showing as a good neighbor was a Samaritan, someone you had no dealings at all with, but this is the man that did what God wanted. This was the man that showed love. This was the man who did the things necessary to receive eternal life. You know, first is to love God and then love your neighbor as yourself. And so Jesus is showing that unlike what you Jews might think, you lawyers, you priests, you Levites, this man was the man that was shown as a good neighbor unto him. And I just imagine this lawyer went away kind of shamed, because I think Jesus went out of his way here to show that the only one that was a good neighbor to this person was someone they wouldn't even associate with, someone beneath the Jews. As a matter of fact, the Jews crossed over onto the other side so they wouldn't be bothered by looking at this poor man who needed help. Jesus is just showing these people that this is what I consider a good neighbor. And so, folks, I think this is the classic case of showing mercy, and that is this account here of the Good Samaritan. When I was a very young Christian, just a few months old in the Lord, I was driving home from work one night, and I came down the street at the stoplight and stopped at the same light I stop in all the time. And as I was pulling up to the light, I noticed there was a car in my lane heading the opposite direction that had crashed into an abutment in the center of the road. And people were just going through the stoplight and paying no attention to this car. And so I just felt like, well, somebody ought to stop. So I pulled in across the street at a motel parking lot and then ran across the street as I saw a gap in the traffic and looked in the car, and there was a man passed out on the steering wheel, just laying there, and traffic was just going by him. The car was facing in the wrong direction in the wrong lane, and so I pushed the man across the seat into the passenger side, and I got in the driver's side, started the car, and when I saw an opening in the traffic, I pulled into the motel parking lot and parked the car. And then I started checking the man out. Well, the man just passed out, and the whole car reeked of alcohol. And so the man finally kind of regained consciousness, and I was sitting there in the driver's side, and he looked at me, and I looked at him. He didn't know who I was, and I said, Are you all right? He says, What do you mean? And I said, Well, you must have passed out, because your car was, and I pointed across the street, had crashed over there, and you can see there's a dent in your car, and you were passed out in the steering wheel. And so I got in the car and pulled it over here. And he was just really groggy and everything. And I said, Let's get you a room here, something. You're no shape to drive, because it was obviously that he was drunk. And so I got him by the arm and with him in tow, took him into the office and got him a room for the night. And took him back to his room and talked to him a little while. And by that time, he'd sobered up quite a bit and he was talking fairly coherently with me. Well, when I checked him in there, I talked to the motel owner and told him what I was going to do, and I got my credit card out, paid for the room, And I said, if there's anything else that he needs, just let me know. I'll be back tomorrow morning, and you can just charge it to the same credit card number. And he said, okay, that'll be fine. So I took the guy back to the room, as I said, and talked to him a little while and got him kind of settled. And he was looking better. I said, you just spend the night here, and I'll check on you in the morning. And your car's parked out front. Don't worry about it. Here's the keys. And so he was really tired, and so he laid down in the bed and went to sleep. And so I left. And so the next morning on the way to work, I left a little early. I pulled into the motel to check on him, went back to his room, knocked on the door, and the man was there. And I went in, and I talked to him, and he was feeling much better. And so I began to talk to him about the Lord a little bit, try to find out if he was saved or not. And he said he did read the Bible, and I got the impression he had accepted the Lord at some early time in his life. And he led me to a part in Psalms, I think it was Psalms 51. And we looked it up in the motel Bible there and opened Psalms 51 and read it and found out that it had to do with a person who'd sinned and receiving forgiveness of the Lord. And he wanted to read that psalm, and we did read the psalm together. And he seemed to take some comfort from it in the fact that it says in the psalm that the Lord will forgive anything that we do and make us whiter than snow. And it says in verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Well, anyway, he wanted to read that. And from that, we were on a spiritual discussion then. And so I just led him through the sinner's prayer because I wasn't actually sure whether he'd been saved or not. And he was very repentant and sorry for what he did and said gave me his name. And he told me that his son lived in the Los Angeles area. Well, I was living in the Santa Barbara area. And so he called his son from the motel room and told his son where he was. From the conversation that I could hear from the man, it sounded like they'd been through this before. And the son was asking him where he was, and he told him where he was. And he said that he would come up with someone else and pick him up and bring someone along that could drive his car back to the son's home. And so that's how the whole story ended. His son came and got him, and he went home with his son. The other friend took the car, and that's the last I ever saw of him. Well, anyway, I didn't even think about this in any particular way, but that night after I was done with the work, after the man had left and everything, I was going to a Christian fellowship meeting, and while I was there, I talked to a man I knew and told him about what happened, and he said, that sounds just like the story of the Good Samaritan. And I says, yeah, it kind of does, doesn't it? And he says, yeah, it was the same thing. A guy was along the road. He needed help. Everybody was passing by. Nobody was stopping. And then one person came along and stopped, got him a room, talked to the innkeeper, and said, take care of him. And if he needs anything else, I'll be back, and you can charge it to me. He said, it sounds exactly like the Good Samaritan. And I realized for the first time, and folks, you may think this is crazy that I didn't realize it before, but it did. It sounded so much like the tale of the Good Samaritan. Well, what's my purpose in mentioning this at all? Well, I guess the purpose is to just let you know that God's word never changes. What was a good neighbor back then when Jesus spoke those words and talked to the lawyer and told him and gave him this example of the Good Samaritan to let him know what a good neighbor was? I think it's the same today. The Lord guides us in the same way today. If we listen to him in our spirits, the same principles that applied back then will apply today, that we are to be a good neighbor to those that we come in contact with that need help. That never changes. What was a good neighbor back then is the same as being a good neighbor today. Now, there's one more example I'd like to go through here, and it's a way of showing mercy that we never may have occurred to us before, and that is showing forgiveness to another is one of the great ways we can show mercy to other people. Because, folks, when you think about it, forgiveness is something that only we can grant to someone who's wronged us. And so let's look now at one more example here in the Bible of someone who showed mercy, in this case, through the act of forgiveness. And for that, we'll turn to Matthew chapter 18 and look at verses 21 through 35. Okay, Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. Let's start at verse 21. Then came Peter to him, that is to Jesus, and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I shall forgive him? Till seven times? And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee, until seven times, but until 70 times 7. And then he goes on to give an example of what he's talking about. How do I know it's an example? Because in verse 23, he starts off with, therefore. So he's not done talking, is he? So Peter asked him a question, and Jesus answered and said, you don't forgive someone just 7 times, but until 70 times 7, which means that you really never reach the limit of showing others forgiveness. And then he gives an example, starting with verse 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. Folks, that's a sum of over $10 million in today's money. It's an amazing amount of money. And so Jesus' example here is to show what great amount this man owed this other person. And so when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents, a tremendous sum. But forasmuch as this man had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped this man, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And then the Lord of that servant, listen, was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. In other words, he was moved with compassion to show mercy to this man. Folks, compassion is nothing other than what moves us to an act of mercy. When compassion comes, mercy follows. Compassion is the divine thing that God gives us to show mercy to another. Compassion without mercy is sterile, folks. The mercy is the act of showing compassion. Compassion then without mercy would not be complete. It would be spiritually incomplete. So when we have this divine gift of compassion from God and feel deep in our heart a deep empathy and compassion for a person, that is nothing more than God working within us to show mercy to that person. But if we just have compassion without mercy, it doesn't do anybody any good. So the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant then went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. That's just a few cents. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Notice it's the same words that this man said unto his master when he owed his master this fabulous sum. And so this man that only owes this servant a few cents says the same thing this man said to his Lord. Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that, he called him and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldst not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had upon you? In other words, there's that mercy again. In other words, shouldn't you also have had mercy shown to your fellow servant, even as I had mercy on you? And his Lord was wroth, that means very angry, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due to him. And then verse 35, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. And so here, folks, we have another type of mercy, and that is the mercy of forgiveness. And how often do we do this? As often as we need to. We never stop showing forgiveness to others who wronged us. And remember, folks, those we forgive actually have wronged us. They were wrong. They shouldn't have done it. But folks, we forgive them anyway. And finally, I guess I'd like to wind up with just this one verse in James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. Let's read that, and then that will complete this lesson. James chapter 2. verse 14 through 17. And it says this: What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, that means have no way of helping themselves. They need someone to show mercy to them. And one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. You see what this says here? It's talking here about mercy. Because if you go back to verse 13, he is talking about mercy. For he says, For he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy. And mercy rejoices against judgment. And so he's talking about mercy here. And what does he say in an example of mercy? Well, he's talking here about the fact that what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Now listen, I'm going to explain this again. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, in other words, one of you has compassion for the person, because you say, Oh, depart in peace. I pray that you be warmed and filled. And then you don't give them the things which are needful. What does it profit the person? In other words, it's saying here, compassion without mercy shown is spiritually incomplete. If you don't act on your compassion by showing mercy, that work is sterile. In other words, God is saying it's good to have compassion, but if you don't follow through and show mercy to the person, it doesn't do them a bit of good. And so that's what the point God's trying to get through here. When that compassion comes upon you and you feel a real empathy for the person, don't just pray with them. Don't just wish that their needs are going to be met. But folks, follow up. Show mercy to that person. Act on that compassion. And unless you do, that movement of compassion of God in your heart is going to do this person absolutely no good. It's going to be completely spiritually incomplete. And so I'd like just to wind up our whole lesson on this thought. That is, when God moves upon you with this divine compassion, follow through with an act of mercy that will minister to this person in a way they couldn't minister to themselves. And that then completes what I had on this gift of showing mercy. This is homework, HBS 163. First question, fill in the blanks. This lesson is about the sub-ministry gift of blank blank with blank. Fill in the blanks. This lesson is about the sub-ministry gift of showing mercy with cheerfulness. Next question, fill in the blanks also. It is another one of the blank blank under the blank blank blank. Fill in the blanks here too. It is another one of the sub-ministries under the ministry of helps. Next question. This ministry gift is a divine gift of blank that comes upon a person with the object of bringing blank to another who is incapable of blank themselves. Fill in those blanks. This ministry gift is a divine gift of compassion that comes upon a person with the object of bringing help to another who is incapable of helping themselves. Next question is true or false. Cheerfulness, as used in the King James Version, means to do something with speed or readiness of mind. Is that true or false? Well, that is true. Cheerfulness is a little misleading. Nothing wrong with having mercy with cheerfulness, but it really means to have this mercy with speed and readiness of mind. In other words, don't delay. When God shows you that this person needs help and gives you that compassion in your heart, then act on it. Don't let it just go by and never act on it. So that's why it says here that when you show mercy, you should do it quickly. Next question, true or false? If you put together showing mercy and what the King James Version calls cheerfulness, it means to eventually act in some fashion to bring mercy to a person in some distress in which he may need some help. That's kind of a long statement. Is that true or false? Well, it's false for two reasons, really. First of all, it says eventually act. That isn't what it's all about, folks. It means to act quickly, as we just said. So that's one reason it's false. Another reason it's false is that I said in here that may need some help. In our definition, we're saying it's for a person who is incapable of helping themselves. So for two reasons, this question is false. Next question, true or false? No, this word for mercy is always used in the Bible as a merciful act resulting from compassion for someone who was incapable of helping themselves. Of course, I just explained that, and that is true. Next question. Name two acts of mercy shown by God the Father, and then include a scripture reference for each. So you can go through the Bible. There's so many that in the Bible. So on this first question, I'm going to give you my examples. Number one, He showed us mercy by giving us Jesus, didn't He? In John 3:16, it says, "How God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And then in the lesson, we covered Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 6, and I'll just read those real quickly. And it says in Titus chapter 3, verse 3, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." That was pretty bad, wasn't it? Verse 4. "But after that," this is the mercy part, "the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." Listen. "Which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior." So in verse 5, it talks about this mercy, and number 6 tells us exactly what God the Father did for us. He shed this mercy on us through giving us Jesus. The other one I have is giving us eternal life. As it says in Luke 12:32, Jesus said, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." I always love that verse because it shows us how much God cares for us and how He sees us as a little flock, kind of keeps us from seeing ourselves more highly than we ought to think. We're His little flock. We're not a bunch of know-it-alls that should go around strutting and preening and pretending like we know everything. We're just a little flock of God's, but it's an important little flock because He loves us. And it says here that it's our Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And so that's what I put down for my two examples. Now, the next question is, name three acts of mercy shown by Jesus. And here again, include the scripture reference for each. And so I'm going to let you do this on your own. This is very easy. That's all really Jesus did when He was on the earth before He went to the cross, was show mercy to those that were here. And so I'm going to let you find three of your own and put in what they were, what the acts of mercy were, and then the scripture reference for each act of mercy. So you have six things to put in these blanks. Three acts of mercy and three scriptural references. And the next question was another fill-in-the-blanks question. God the Father and Jesus' merciful acts throughout the Bible were always given to those who blank-blank themselves. So we know what that is. God the Father and Jesus' merciful acts throughout the Bible were always given to those who couldn't help themselves. If you look at God's act of mercy, God the Father, we couldn't send Jesus. He had to do that for us. We couldn't give ourselves eternal life. He had to do that for us. And so all the healing and the preaching and the teaching and the things that Jesus did were things that man couldn't do to help themselves. In these blanks goes, couldn't help. Next question. Besides the ones you gave above, and I mean the acts of mercy you gave above for Jesus, list another great act of mercy shown by someone in the Bible that impressed you. Now, remember our definition, and I'm not going to repeat it. You should know it by now. So I want you to give me an example of someone in the Bible that gave an act of mercy that impressed you. In other words, I want you to go back through your Bibles and pick one that someone gave someone else. So you put fill in the blank here, and then the scriptural reference as well. Next question. The gift of showing mercy means God will move His people with blank so acts of blank can be given to others. I'll fill in the blanks. The gift of showing mercy means God will move His people with His compassion so acts of mercy can be given to others. Next question. The rest of them are all true and false. Those with the special gift of showing mercy will be used this way very rarely, but when they are used by God this way, they should respond quickly. Is that true or false? Well, it's true they should respond quickly, but it's not very rarely. But those with this special gift will be used this way often. And so since I said very rarely instead of often, that's why this question should be answered with false. The Good Samaritan example Jesus gave was to show us that loving our neighbor means that when we see someone who needs help, we should tell them they will be in our thoughts and prayers. Is that what God means in the Good Samaritan about showing mercy and loving our neighbor? Well, no, that's false. It doesn't mean they're going to be in our thoughts and prayers. You hear that all the time anymore. Well, you'll be in our thoughts and prayers. Well, you know, folks, prayer is good. But unless you help the person too, if it's in your means to help the person and show mercy to the person, and God's moving you with compassion, you really should help the person, not just say you're going to be in our thoughts and prayers. And for that reference, you could go back in James and read James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17, which it talks about what good is it if you tell someone to be warm and filled and you don't help the one that needs the help. It's fine to be compassionate, but you've got to go more than just say, be ye warmed and filled. You'll be in our thoughts and prayers. You've actually got to do something, folks, when God moves upon your heart. And so the answer to this question then is false. Next question. Mercy is an act of help given to those who need help but do not have the means of helping themselves. Is that true or false? Well, that is true. Mercy is an act of help given to those who need help but do not have the means of helping themselves. So that is true. Next question. This is one reason that the gift of showing mercy would most logically be one of the ministry of helps. And of course, that is true. Next question. Our forgiveness extended to a person who has wronged us is also an act of mercy because the person needs to be forgiven by the very one whom he has wronged. Is that true or false? Well, that is true. You know, when we forgive someone that's wronged us, we're the only ones that can do that. I mean, of course, God can forgive them, but as far as an earthly person to forgive that person, only we can do that. They can't go to anyone else and get forgiveness if they've wronged us. And so that's why this question is true. And our last question is, man can have compassion without mercy, but it will be spiritually incomplete. Is that true or false? And that is true, folks. We need to have that compassion. When God puts that compassion in our heart to help another, we need to follow through and do so quickly. That's what we learned in this lesson. And if we don't do that, if we just have the compassion and don't actually do anything to help, that compassion will be spiritually incomplete. And again, I give you James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17, where it talks about what I just mentioned in the previous question. It's no good to say, be ye warmed and filled, or you're going to be in our thoughts and prayers. That's some good to pray. That's good. But if you have it in your means to really help the person, then don't just give them a little, well, we'll be thinking about you, we'll be praying, when you could really help them in their time of need. And so that then, folks, completes the lesson on he that showeth mercy.